You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, Anagram, adoring, audio-absorbing, awesome audience. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 110, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. Along with me are our marvelous minutia-mining minds and mouths.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And of course, today is episode 110, and every fifth episode, we do an all-quiz bonanza episode.
Bonanza!
So today is our all-quiz bonanza number 22!
Yay! Good mental math.
Sometimes we just have a lot of quizzes that we made, and on our all quiz episodes, we don't really have a theme. We just all prepared our own puzzles and quizzes.
Gotta clear out our backlog of quizzes that just been building up.
And stump you guys, listeners, so play along. And let's start out with our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot.
The quiz to start the quizzes.
The pre-quiz. All right. I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your Barnyard Buzzers. Here we go. First question, Blue Wedge for geography. In what city can you find the Mouth of Truth?
Oh.
Chris.
Is this in Rome?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. It is in Rome. Yeah. According to legend, the sculpture bites your hand if you tell a lie.
Oh.
What?
I think it's the thing on the wall that has like a big scary mouth, right?
Yeah, and you put your hand in it. They built like an arcade machine out of this thing that you'd stick your hand in it and it would spit out a fortune. It was like a fortune teller machine, except for
buzz you.
Yeah, but the real thing is it was Italian, so I figured it must be Rome. Yep. And it was. 1 point for Gryffindor.
Just 1 point.
Just the one.
I don't think you're Gryffindor. I don't think
Ravenclaw. Sorry. 1 point for Ravenclaw.
Okay.
Next question, Pink Wedge for pop culture. Duran Duran got its name from a character in what Jane Fonda movie? Colin.
That was from Barbarella.
Yes.
Now name another Jane Fonda movie.
On Golden Pond.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Jane Fonda works out.
Barbarella. Yeah. The cult classic featured a character named Dr. Durand. Durand.
Durand. Durand.
All right, Yellow Wedge, what versatile material was developed to keep GI ammunition cases dry during World War II? Chris.
Nylon.
Incorrect. Colin.
Polyester?
Incorrect.
Kevlar?
Incorrect.
What was it?
It's duct tape.
That totally makes sense.
Okay.
That's cool.
Also known as duck, the animal tape.
Yes.
Duct tape.
Wait, it was used for keeping... What dry?
Ammunition cases.
Oh, like, that's so interesting.
Seal up the edges, I'm guessing.
Tape it up.
I thought it was for like ducks, like air ducks.
I always thought that like duct tape was an egg corn. You know, it was the misheard version of it, that it was duct tape.
Right, right.
No,
but
it turns out it's actually duck tape.
D-U-C-K.
As in water, everything slides off of it the way that things slide off the back of a duck.
And that was a brand. It was a brand.
And that, you can use it on air ducts. That, in fact, is the misheard version.
Okay.
But so the military one was called duct tape, like D-U-C-K?
Here, during World War II, Revolite, then a division of Johnson & Johnson, developed an adhesive tape made from rubber-based adhesive applied to durable duck cloth, D-U-C-K cloth, backing. This tape resisted water and was used as a sealing tape on ammunition. So it was probably derived from duck cloth or cotton duck, which is a canvas, which is a slang for canvas.
So is the card wrong? Should it really be duct tape?
It also did say, known as D-U-C-K tape.
Yeah, it's called both. Called both.
It's referring to the same thing.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pedantic. Wait, so it's supposed to be D-U-C-K tape. And then we kind of commonly call it duct.
Yeah.
D-U-C-T. Right. All right. Next question, Purple Wedge. What is the first message Charlotte weaves in Charlotte's Web?
Oh.
Wow, Chris.
Some pig.
Yes!
Yep.
Nice.
What are the other ones? Humble.
It's like marvelous.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
That's some pig.
Yeah, it starts out, you know, pretty simple.
Right.
Yeah. Not the best pig. Not even just some pig. Like, pretty good pig.
Some pig.
Yep. Some pig. Some guy.
Technically, there's an exclamation mark, so it's more
some awesome. Pig.
Yeah. Some pig you should eat.
You betrayed me.
How dare you show
it's a cookbook.
It. All right. Green Wedgwood Science. What is the more familiar name for the intoxicating plant Nepeta cattaria?
That must be catnip.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez. Yes.
I was thinking drug, like I was thinking of like
right,
marijuana.
Intoxicating too. Yeah. It's like wow, trivial pursuit.
Nepeta cattaria.
Oh, catnip.
Mm-hmm. All right, last question, Orange Wedge. Which is not a Major League Soccer team? Chicago Fire, Columbus Crew, or San Jose SaberCats? Whoa, Colin.
That is the San Jose SaberCats. Is not a soccer team.
You are correct. What are they?
I believe it's the Earthquake, right? Or Earthquakes?
That's what I thought.
They may have changed their name.
So I think when this card was written, it was called the Clash. All right, good job, brains. So all quiz bonanza. Number 22. Who wants to go first?
Not it.
Who's closest to age 22?
Oh.
I am.
Definitely not me. Yeah, probably you. All right, you go first.
I go first? All right, well, if you guys are making me first, I'm going to choose the embarrassing one.
Uh-huh. All right.
So here I have a quiz about famous actors and actresses. The twist is, we've done this before, instead of answering the name of the actor I'm looking for, you have to do an impersonation of this person.
Okay. All right.
This is what you guys get for making me go first.
All right.
So you can say a famous quote or impersonate this person. And I chose very iconic celebrities.
Okay. All right.
Nobody wants to buzz in.
Really? Oh, no. All right.
Fine. I know your scheme.
Before playing the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Avengers universe, he was the voice of the superhero Frozone in The Incredibles. Colin.
Say what again?
Oh, yeah, I was like, I can't think of any Queen quotes.
Yeah,
I was
like, what could he possibly say? I think in some of his movies, he may have uttered an A or a V. Yeah.
I could also do, that's one tasty burger.
Nice. Can we just say their name and their accent? Like, if we're like, Samuel L. Jackson.
The answer is, of course, Samuel L. Jackson. I didn't really think about that. I was like, oh, he's really iconic. I never really thought about, oh, his lines are not
every
PG.
Yeah, every major, every memorable
That's
line.
One tasty burger.
He's saying something sassy
profanity. How about these Monday to Friday snakes off this monkey fighting plane?
Right.
The edited for TV version.
Monday to Friday.
I think it might have been the other way around.
I think it was.
It was monkey fighting snakes off this Monday to Friday plane. I want that job. I'm sure it's controlled by some sort of a secretive guild of the people who get to edit movies for TV. Yeah. I'm sure they're protecting their job because that is a sweet job. I'd be out of here in a second if they offered me that job.
All right. In AFI, American Film Institute's 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. The quotes in the number 2 spot and the number 3 spot are spoken by this late actor.
Quotes.
So he spoke both the number 2 and number 3 spot.
The number 2 and number 3 best movie quotes of all time.
Okay.
Chris.
I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender.
Yes!
And also, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Right. Yes, wow.
Is that the two of them?
That's got to be.
So I'll make him offer he can't refuse is number two.
Number two contender. From The Godfather. Contender is On the Waterfront.
Number three.
And they're both Marlon Brando.
Yes, okay. Marlon Brando. Very good job. You didn't need to tell me the quotes, but props.
Oh, okay.
This guy served two terms as the 38th governor of California.
Oh,
Chris,
get to the chopper. Yeah.
Come with me if you want to live.
There's so many.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Sylvester Stallone.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
I think those are like the three lines he would least like to be remembered for, probably in his
career. I still see you.
That's probably the least favorite one.
On the quote list, I'll be back must be on there, right?
I'm sure. Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course. The full name of this rap group hype man is William Jonathan Drayton Jr.
Oh. Yeah, boy!
Oh, my God. Wow. I hope that's right. I hope it's
right. Yeah, I know. I really hope that's right.
Because he put it all out there.
I really did.
That's got to be Flavor Flav.
It is Flavor Flav.
Okay.
Flavor Flav. Very good. All right. Next question. This amateur singer behind a viral 2007 hit song likes to, quote, move away from the mic to breathe in.
Oh.
Dana, you want to hit this one?
Dana.
Chocolate rain.
That went really well. I don't actually remember any of the other lyrics, but I do remember the
something
the
about prison.
Blackboard, something like
that. Yeah, it was really, people laughed at this song, but it was really deep.
It's like racial issues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about, like, racial issues.
Right,
but
right,
it was just
right.
The...
He did the, yeah. Well, he did the Dr. Pepper commercial, too, the cherry chocolate Dr. Pepper commercial, where he's saying, cherry chocolate rain, and then one of the lines actually was, I move away from the mic to breathe.
That's really good.
Oh.
That was actually really good. Of course, the man here is Tayzon Day, the brain behind the hit Chocolate Rain, famous on YouTube. Though she's more known for her hit 90s TV show, this actress appeared in movies like Saturday Night Fever, This Is Spinal Tap, and Weird Al's UHF, and of course, The Beautician and the Beast. Chris.
Oh, right. Jeez.
That's
the only line I can think of. All right. Air 5. Okay. I'm across the table.
Good job.
Yes.
And that was, of
this
course...
This is, of course, a broken machine gun.
Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher, star of The Nanny. He was initially created from a discarded spring coat and two ping pong balls halves for eyes. Dana.
The Lovers, the Dreamers.
Whoa, hey, that was good.
Kermit the Frog here.
Hi ho.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, yeah.
It's Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
All right, last one. Oh, my favorite one. The notable people who like to do impersonations of this actor include actors Kevin Pollak, Kevin Spacey, and of course, comedian Jay Moore.
Okay.
Colin.
I've got a fever.
Yeah.
Of course, Christopher Walken.
Two more.
Scooch closer, children.
Ah, it's
don't make
weird...
me tell you again about the scooching.
It pokes a weird which part of my brain.
Which is Jay Moore.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my favorite skits on Saturday Night Live of recent years
reunion?
Was the Christopher Walken family reunion. Yeah, and so Amy Poehler, like, talking about her doll, she's like... She's a good doll. She doesn't respond well to spooky behavior. It just cracks me up.
Amy Poehler has the hair, the crazy Christopher Walken.
So most impersonations of Christopher Walken at this point are actually impersonations of other people doing impersonations of Christopher Walken.
I think like William Shatner, I think, as well, right? Yeah, it's like a second level.
Or my favorite is Kevin Spacey as Christopher Walken as Han Solo. The Millennium Falcon.
More people today culturally are exposed to people doing impersonations of Christopher Walken than the source material itself.
Yeah, I'm sure
with the exception of More Cowbell, which was actually him.
All right, well, good job, you guys. That was a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
I like that quiz. I'll stick with you, Karen. I like that one.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
It was good.
You're not fired. So if you're listening to this episode the day that it goes live or the week that it goes live, then you will know that it was just Mother's Day here in the United States of America. I hope that you weren't caught off guard by this. I hope you called.
I hope you spent time with
right
mom.
Now, yes. Someone is frantically calling their mom.
You might be saying, Chris, why didn't you tell us this last week when there was still time? That is not my job. You have 51 weeks to prepare for next year. Get it right. So let me ask you guys, this is a quiz because this is an all quiz show. When is Mother's Day?
Oh,
Colin.
Is it the second Sunday in May?
It is the second Sunday in May.
Okay. Mm.
That is in the United States of America and other places around the world. Second Sunday in May is Mother's Day. Without looking at anything, where is the apostrophe in Mother's Day?
Oh. Wow.
I'll have you write this down on your notepads, because obviously, I mean,
right?
Okay,
you can, I don't want to
assume too many things about you guys, but I assume you would figure that there's only really two potential answers here, unless you think the apostrophe is between the O and the T, in which case
motors.
Right, right, right. So I'm going to give this to you. There is an apostrophe.
Okay.
Okay.
Where is that apostrophe?
Sure.
Everyone can debate this amongst themselves.
I feel like it's a trick.
It's a trick question.
I don't think it's a trick.
Colin says it's between the R and the S, or the singular possessive. Karen agrees, between the R and the S, singular possessive. Dana says it is the plural possessive, and thus it is after the S, but before the space, before the D.
It doesn't look right.
It is the singular possessive.
Yeah.
It is. So there is actually a little story behind this. Yeah. The creator of the holiday, Anna Jarvis, specifically said that the holiday is meant to, like, tell a particular family, honor your mother. This is your Mother's Day. Not the reference to the collective mothers of the earth. It is a day about your...
Singular.
It is about yo mama.
Got it.
Yo mama's day. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Unless you have two moms.
Unless you have two moms.
That could
happen. In which case, yeah.
Yep. Sophie's choice.
Mother, you gotta choose apostrophe.
One. Yeah. Only one of them is the day.
Officially, R apostrophe S. On May 9, 1914, the President of the United States of America issued a proclamation proclaiming that day to be the first official Mother's Day in the United States, May 9th, 1914. Okay. Which president was it?
Oh, jeez.
Colin.
Woodrow Wilson?
Yeah, you nailed it. Woodrow Wilson. What flower is typically given and worn on Mother's Day and just represents Mother's Day?
I don't know.
Karen knows.
Carnation.
Yep. In which of the following countries is Mother's Day not celebrated on the second Sunday in May?
Huh.
You can write this down, too.
Okay.
So your three options here are the United Kingdom, Australia, and Japan. In which of those countries is Mother's Day not celebrated on the second Sunday in May? Of course, we do have listeners from all of these countries, and probably one of them is going to get this immediately.
Sure.
But we are Americans. Colin says Japan. Karen and Dana both say Australia. It is the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom, they celebrate Mothering Sunday, which is exactly the same thing as Mother's Day, on the fourth Sunday in Lent. And that was this year. That was March 30th. It is apparently it is increasingly beginning to, people are increasingly starting to call it Mother's Day in the UK, but Mothering Sunday is it's not the same day. In Australia and Japan, they celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday in May. And finally, on that note, Mother's Day on the second Sunday in May. Belgium or not Belgium?
Okay, let's go. Okay.
You can work this out yourselves.
Probably not.
I say French.
Wait, what does thumbs up mean? Belgium?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thumbs up means
natural.
Not Belgium.
Like, I was like, true. Belgium. It
yes.
means
Colin
true.
Colin seems to be weighing in here with
Belgium.
As in, yes, they do indeed celebrate it on second
Even
Sunday
though
in Belgium.
Near
Karen
England,
is doing the thumbs down.
UK?
Karen says
yeah,
not
but
Belgium.
They're separated by the water.
Do you think it's a Lent thing? Like,
so my theory is they might have an older holiday equivalent, but not on the same day.
I say not just because it's in Europe, too, I guess.
So Colin says yes, Karen and Dana both
Although,
say no.
It's weird that Australia's is different than the UK's because they were a colony.
Yeah,
that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Hard to tell. Belgium. In Dutch, Mother's Day sounds quite a bit like they're saying murder dog.
Murder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that, right?
Yeah.
Dog, right?
Murder dog. Yeah, murder dog. Which is a new comic book series I'm writing. Murder dog.
Hope you guys had a fun Mother's Day.
Hey, or as
Happy
we now
murder
call
dog.
It, murder dog.
Happy murder dog.
All right. I have a quiz for you guys about celebrity autobiographies.
Yes.
Yes. I was just cruising around on Amazon and I realized there's this whole like trend of celebrities making really, really punny names for the autobiography. Oh, yeah. And I was trying to come up with one for myself. They're not good. They're terrible. But oh, no. I'm going to keep working
actually,
on it.
Actually, no. Dana Nelson's story.
No, okay.
That's just such a small part of her life, though. You know?
It is. Yeah. Let's go through it. And then at the end, we can think about what our own,
okay.
Our own autobiography
would
be called. All right. So, for instance, to start out, The Stone Cold Truth is the autobiography of...
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
Okay, we're not buzzing in anymore.
Well, no, now we are. That was an example.
Okay. Yes. Okay, all right.
This is why we have the practice questions.
Yeah. I'll let it go.
All right. Melissa Explains It All, Tales from My Abnormally Normal Life.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's...
Come on.
It's Melissa Joan Hart. Yeah.
Yes.
And because her show was
Clarissa Explains It All.
Exactly. Unsweetened.
Is this Jody Sweeten?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes. They are all man. Like this. Okay.
They are all
for
this like bad.
Full like, house?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll basically be telling you their names in the title, but you have to like parse it and understand.
All right.
Wow.
The pool of what constitutes celebrity is a little bigger than I thought.
Which one is she?
Yeah. She was Stephanie. The middle one.
Okay. The middle one.
Spelling It Like It Is.
Tori Spelling?
Yes.
Wow.
But, okay.
Choreography, a memoir. Chris.
Corey Feldman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice.
It's
50-50.
Yeah. Corey Haim passed away. Yeah, okay.
He could have written a book. Before.
He might have.
Uncharted Territory.
Oh.
Is this Terry Hatcher?
No.
Is this Tara Reid?
No.
I have no idea.
It's a trick. It's Tori Spelling again.
It's Tori Spelling again.
Oh,
and
Tori.
Yeah.
How many books
there
is
are
she
a lot
written
with her name?
What?
She is the queen of puns with her name. Anyway. Untold Story.
What is...
She's really good at coming up with
I need
those.
To... Okay.
I'm impressed.
Okay. New life goal. Before I die, write more books than Tori Spelling.
You're not going to win.
Oh, no!
I mean, she has a lot of them. And they all are puns on her name. Anyway. Okay.
You've written two books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not even...
No, I'm not, you should, I'm not even
check
in
out
the,
Amazon. Just take
I'm not
a
even in the territory.
You're not in the territory. Yeah. I think that might be uncharted territory. Anyway, okay. So, yeah. Stories from Candyland. Confections from one of Hollywood's most famous wives and mothers.
Candy. Stories from Candyland.
Is it Candace Cameron?
Oh.
Confections.
Okay. Is it like one of the, is it the Kardashian mom?
No.
Chris.
It is.
It's not Candace Bergen.
Don't say Tori Spelling.
It's Candy Spelling. Her mom.
Oh my! I'm so angry right now. I'm so mad right now.
I really thought there was like a chef or a food angle because there were like double puns on Candyland and then confection. So I was like, oh, must be a Hollywood like pastry chef.
Wow. Who knew the Spelling family dominated the celebrity memoir?
Industry, yeah.
All right, we're moving out of the Spelling area now.
Okay, good.
Tommy Land.
Is that Tommy Lee?
Yes. Sly Moves.
Is that Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Oh, you're running this.
A Twist of Lemon. Everybody.
Tina Fey?
No.
Sorry.
D. Snyder?
No.
Jack Lemmon?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
We've associated the word lemon with Tina Fey so closely now. Yeah.
All right. Now, these don't have their names in it, but they're closely associated with whatever they were up to.
Right.
Leading with My Chin.
Oh.
Chris.
Jay Leno.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kiss and Makeup.
Gene Simmons.
Yes. Out of Sync. Chris.
Oh.
Justin Timberlake?
No.
J.C. Chazé.
No. Good guess, but no.
Joey Fatone?
No.
Chris Kirkpatrick?
Oh! It's Lance Bass.
It's Lance Bass.
Right, because it was after,
he came out.
Was Justin Timberlake in NSYNC?
Yes.
Okay.
So you were... Yeah,
so you know what? Half a point for me.
You know what? Yeah.
Good job.
Personal, good job, you guys.
Personal best.
I mean, there were... Yeah, I could have done more Tori spelling.
Oh, man. Too. Yeah, because yeah, apparently
now
she's...
Now I'm curious.
Apparently she's written more books than Michael Crichton, I guess.
Yeah, so well, I could have come up with a really good punny name for myself.
Oh, with our names.
With our name. Cool. I can't stop Karen. I don't know. No.
What you thinking?
Oh, what you thinking?
Yeah,
that's
what
good.
You thinking?
What you thinking?
And you see you like leaning to the side with your arms
with
crossed.
A backwards cat.
You're like, what
that's
you
good.
Thinking?
What you thinking?
Oh, okay. Oh, I got it. Man, I can't even believe it. It was just there the whole time.
What?
Coloroscopy.
And it's you with like an x-ray.
Right,
yeah,
the x-ray.
Yeah.
And then there's a picture of my yeah. face and, in the x-ray. Right.
And you look all naughty.
And so on into infinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colonized, maybe?
Actually colonoscopy and then we will just release them at the same time.
I like
and
it.
It's like there's a tube that's connecting both of your butts
right,
like
right,
across
right.
the covers.
Yep, yep, they're collectors.
Under Amazon be like, other people also bought
colonoscopy. This was the falling out of Chris and Colin from Good Job Brain, as both claimed the rights to use the colonoscopy pun in the title of their book. No, coloroscopy, because it rhymes, you know, colon. No, colonoscopy,
it's closer,
because it's
yeah,
closer
letters,
than it is.
Yeah.
They never reconciled this difference.
Behind the music.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
At Pub Quiz, we will frequently get questions about acronyms and abbreviations and initialisms and what do these letters stand for.
Well, you're the best at that. It's your quiz.
I love these.
Okay.
I love these.
All right.
So yeah, you need an enthusiasm to put the quiz together, right?
It's true.
If you say a more common example is AWOL. He went AWOL. Mm-hmm. Right. What does AWOL stand
yeah.
for?
Mm-hmm. Away without leave.
Absent without
absent
leave.
Absent without yeah. leave. Right.
Oh.
So for this quiz, I'm particularly interested in what a lot of people kind of think of the more pure acronyms, which are words that you read as a word.
Oh,
so
okay.
A lot of people will say like, oh, FBI isn't an acronym because you don't mm-hmm. say FIBI. You spell it out.
So it's like SWAT.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So let's start with SWAT,
or
Karen.
Or HAGS. Have a
so
great summer.
A lot of major cities, police departments will have a SWAT team that they send in. So what does SWAT stand for?
Special Weapons and Tactics.
Correct. Mm. Special Weapons and Tactics. A little bonus here. The first SWAT team was in Philadelphia.
Whoa.
Founded,
what year?
1964.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So a SWAT team, in case you don't know, is the branch of the police that's a little more militarized with a little higher...
they have special weapons.
Special weapons. And they also have special tactics.
What? Mm. Oh, so they're in the police. They're part of the police department.
That's right. They're part of a city police force. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We've had quizzes on the show about Brad Pitt and lasers. And we know Brad Pitt stands for sexiness. Mm-hmm. But what does laser stand for?
Oh, jeez.
I didn't even know it was an acronym.
Yeah. A lot of these have just passed into, you know, quote, normal words that the acronym meaning is lost.
Can we guess?
Sure. You can try and work together.
Light.
Yeah. Yep.
And?
It is amplification.
Light amplification. So exciting.
Is it very
light?
Spectrum?
Laser stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
No, the B's not in there.
Yeah.
As terrible acronyms go, that's not the worst offender.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're allowed to include the connector words.
Say it again.
light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
Okay.
Okay, a labster.
Right. an earlier example, going back a little bit, scuba gear, scuba diving. What does scuba stand for, Chris?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Wow. Yeah,
absolutely correct, yes. And, you know, a lot of these terms will come out of military use, not surprisingly. So radar was first used widely by the military. Oh. What does radar stand for? Right. What's the primary? What drives
reconnaissance?
Radio. Radio.
Amplification.
It's a good guess, but
and this is one of those where it's not necessarily a one-to-one correspondence of letter to word.
Like radio, airwaves, or something like.
Radar. Yeah, you're in the right ballpark. Radar is comes from radio detection and ranging.
Okay. So
radar. Right. That one goes back to, I think, 1940.
Detection and ranging.
Ranging, right.
What about is sonar almost the same?
Similar. Let's go to sonar.
Sound. Quit asking questions.
Yep. Sound. Little bit different. The last part is the same. Sound, something, and ranging. And I'll give you a little bit of a clue here. The real push to develop sonar on a widespread scale was largely due to the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. So its earliest uses was on ships.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Nautical?
Navigation.
Oh, okay. Navigation.
Sonar.
Sound, sense. Navigation, okay. And so ranging.
Just dolphins need to navigate.
Navigation versus detection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Sound, navigation, and ranging.
Hmm. Yeah.
When you send mail here in the United States, you need the address as well as the zip code. Mm. Not a lot of people are aware that the zip in zip code is an acronym. Anyone want to take a stab on what ZIP stands for?
Zone.
Yes.
Identification.
Protocol. Proxy.
That's more technical sounding than it really is. Oh. But yeah, you're thinking government. It's ZIP stands for Zone Improvement Plan. First went into effect in 1963. So zip codes are fairly recent.
And it zips your mail.
Right to you.
Right to you in good 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah.
And I will close out here with a couple that are so off the wall that I came across in the course of my research. I don't expect you guys to get these, but if you do, I will be amazingly impressed. Did you guys know TASER is an acronym? TASER, the electronic the electric device used to disable people in a non-lethal manner. TASER is an acronym. Chris, you seem like you might have a guess here.
Oh, I don't. I have no idea. Okay. Take a shocking. So this is one electric ride.
This is a very tongue-in-cheek one.
Take a shocking electric ride.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
take
pretty
a
good.
Shocking electric ride, or slightly more tongue-in-cheek.
Oh.
Than what it really stood for. The inventor of the TASER named the device after his boyhood hero, Tom Swift. There was a series of stories about Tom Swift, and they were kind of adventure and science minded. And one of the stories was called Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle. So he named his device Thomas A. Swift's Electric Rifle.
Wow.
And that is where TASER gets its name.
Wow.
Last one here. This one's a little off the wall. So we get olive oil from olives.
Mm-hmm.
We get sesame oil from sesame seeds. Do you guys know where canola oil comes from? And I promise I will come back around to acronyms here.
No, it's a portmanteau, I think.
It is a portmanteau. It is more in the realm of portmanteau.
Oh!
Gears are turning.
So there used to be a cooking oil people used that was made out of this plant, this seed called rape seed.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
That is what it is.
People didn't like using the word rape seed because obviously bad word is in it. Yeah.
I had no idea. That you're 100% right.
Okay.
Yeah. Canola oil is oil from the rape seed. And it was a rebranding effort, essentially. They're like, we need to come up with a better name for this.
Yeah.
Canola is a compound portmanteau of Canada. And Ola for oil.
Oh, okay.
So Canada oil. At the time that they came up with the name, Canada was the largest producer of such oil. Of rapeseed oil. And it was a way of rebranding. And I buy canola oil. I use canola oil. I never had any idea.
If it was like rape oil, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah. So there's no canola plant.
Okay.
There's no canola seed.
That's why they have
good
those pictures
brain.
Of the little flowers.
Yeah.
That's what that's
I remember picture. Seeing.
Okay.
I remember seeing this somewhere.
Yeah. Good job, brain. Karen pulled that one out. Is it from the rape seed?
So I have a quiz, and it's titled, The Pen is Not Mightier Than the Sword. So here I have a quiz about famous fictional / legendary swords.
Okay.
In literature, in movies, in TV shows. And so I'm going to name the sword, maybe a little bit, maybe a little clue, and you tell me what universe it is in.
Okay.
If you can be specific about the book, you can be, but just universe is enough.
Okay.
Here we go. And buzz in with your answer. Number one, Sting. Chris.
This is in The Hobbit. This
yes.
is Bilbo Baggins'
little sword.
Little sword.
Little sword.
Yep.
Another little sword. Needle.
Data. Game of Thrones.
Correct. It's Arya Stark's sword. The Vorpal Blade. Colin.
Well, I guess you're looking for the Jabberwock? I mean, or from Alice in Wonderland? What's...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. All of those things.
From Jabberwocky.
It's from Jabberwocky.
It's right. in the poem Jabberwocky, which is in the book Through the Looking Glass, which is in the Alice in Wonderland universe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all correct.
All bases covered.
All right. The Six-Finger Sword. Colin.
I'm going to guess the Princess Bride.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Princess Bride. Who played him?
Christopher
Guest.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Because his fingers went up to 11.
The Power Sword. Chris, of course.
This is He-Man, yes. The Masters of the Universe.
Okay. Masters of the Universe. Yep. Universe. All right. Nice. The Master Sword. Chris again.
The Legend of Zelda.
Correct. Very good. Subtle Knife.
Oh.
Wow.
His Dark Materials series, Philip Pullman, the Golden Compass.
Yes, correct. Hrunting.
Oh. Hrunting?
Hrunting.
Hrunting. HR. I've heard this before, for sure.
Colin.
Gilgamesh?
Incorrect.
Hmm.
Is this also Lord of the Rings?
Incorrect.
No.
What's your hint?
It's a epic poem.
Beowulf.
Correct.
Okay.
Beowulf. Nice. Very good.
Yep. Okay.
Hattori Hanzo. Colin.
Kill Bill.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Kill Bill universe. And this one is The Sword of Omens. Jeez, Chris.
Thundercats.
I wrote a hint for this.
Yeah.
It's the sword contains the mystic Eye of Thundera.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Which is the, the sword, the source of Thundercats' power. Mm.
And as that show went on, like, that sword could do anything they needed it to do. It just became the biggest Deus Ex Machina ever. Yeah.
I don't remember it being illogical, but I was such a little kid when that was out.
You're like, wow.
I was like, sure, that could happen, right? Yeah.
The proper name of the sword is called Narsil.
Ooh.
Again, I've totally heard this.
Lord
this
of the Rings.
Very Tolkien.
Correct.
Yes,
it is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Also known as the
sword that was broken.
And,
okay.
All right. Aragorn received the sword was an action recognizing him as the heir of Isildur and the rightful king of Gondor.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. All right. Last one. This is a name in another language for this sword. I'm going to try to pronounce this foreign name.
All right. Okay.
Kalevuldur.
Oh. Sounds.
Kalevuldur.
Dana. Game of Thrones. It sounded like.
It sounded like, all
is
men
this,
must die.
Is this the sword in the stone? Like the Arthurian Excalibur?
Yes, Excalibur.
Okay. It was Welsh. Okay. You were going for.
I was going for Welsh. One day, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to learn Welsh. Do they have Rosetta Stone for that? I would totally want to learn Welsh.
It looks like such a hard language to
learn.
Yeah, a lot
of G's and L's and Y's.
They're not afraid of consonants. Yeah.
Like, I didn't... You know, we watch a lot of, like, Doctor Who. And they always have at the end, because they're all made in the Welsh BBC.
Ah.
And it's called BBC. And then what I thought was... Cymru,
C-Y-M-R-U,
pronounce Camry.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what?
What?
Why'd they pick those letters to match those sounds?
Cymru. Yeah. Camry. Cambria.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, good job, everybody. You guys know your swords. Chris knows his swords.
Yeah.
His actual swords.
I have my cartoon swords. Yeah.
All right, for the next quiz, I'm going to dust off an old standby, one that kind of comes up now and then for us. Belgium or not Belgium.
Yay!
part.
It came up earlier in the show.
It did.
We only did Belgium, not Belgium, once. Just so everybody knows. This is the second time. Wow. Wow.
I remember where I was when...
Yeah,
when we were recording a podcast.
My house.
Yeah, we're at Chris's apartment.
Yeah.
For Belgium, not Belgium, basically the answer to every question or every fact is yes, this is in Belgium, or this is a fact about Belgium, or no, this is not a fact about Belgium.
Right.
And that's it. It's just to see, like...
What do you know?
What do we know?
And you'd think that after the last one, we'd have, like, you know, studied or done anything at all to learn more about Belgium. I'm not sure where it is. I'm not sure if it's a country. So
it is a country.
Okay.
I'll tell you
all right.
That.
Okay. So I got that.
Yeah. I might even know less about Belgium than I did before. I can't rule it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last time we figured out that Brussels sprouts are from Belgium.
Brussels.
Belgian waffles really are from Belgium.
Again, I think I assumed that both of those were trick questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Thumbs up for Belgium.
Thumbs up for Belgium. Thumbs down for not Belgium.
All right.
Audrey Hepburn was born here.
I know she was not born in America. I think she was born.
Sure.
So Colin and Karen say not Belgium. Chris says Belgium. It was Belgium.
All right.
Born in Belgium.
I was thinking of Netherlands.
I didn't think you were going to try to trick us so early.
Yeah.
This is not even about Belgium. This is about like...
Oh, it's mind games.
Yeah.
This is about Dana exerting psychic control over us.
Yeah.
It's so hard when things are just like true or false. You're like, I don't know.
I'm quintuple guessing myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The largest diamond center in the world is in this country.
Diamond center?
Diamond center.
As in trade?
Where rough diamonds, rough cut diamonds go through. They get processed. Yep. Or traded or, yeah. So Karen and Chris say not Belgium. Colin says Belgium. It's Belgium. Antwerp, Belgium. It's the diamond center of the world. Yeah.
I knew it was Antwerp, but I had no idea what country.
We really have done no research. Yeah. The next time this comes up.
I even played a video game all about diamond mining.
Really?
Yeah.
And
they talk about Antwerp all the time. So I was like, oh, I know it's in Antwerp, but I just don't know where
Antwerp is in Belgium.
Yeah. Right.
In Belgium. Yes. All right.
We're a bunch of Antwerps.
How about this? Okay. It's the least populated country in the European Union.
Is it a true question? Are they even in the EU?
They're in the EU. Okay. I'll tell you, they're in the
least
EU.
Least populated.
Everybody says it's not Belgium. It's not Belgium. Do you guys know what it is?
Monaco?
Lichtenberg?
Are we counting
Lichtenberg?
That?
Luxembourg.
Luxembourg.
Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
Lichtenberg.
There's only like 465,000 people in Luxembourg. Skype is headquartered here.
I will say yes. I will say thumbs up.
I will also ride the yes on Skype in Belgium train.
Yes.
Everybody says yes. No.
Oh.
Thanks, Chris.
It's also Luxembourg.
Oh,
yeah. So close. Neighbors.
Yeah.
The world's biggest producer of comics per capita.
Comics?
Comics. World's biggest producer of comics per capita.
Huh. What a strange
fact. It means like a lot of print production factories.
Yeah.
Are they like making comics? It's part of their culture.
Belgium?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tintin is Belgian.
All right.
But like, are they still running Tintin?
I'm gonna go with yes. This seems so weird that maybe it's true.
Look at you guys. Man.
Yes, Belgian.
Yeah.
Okay, and Colin says no. It is yes.
Yeah!
Yes. Tintin saved the day.
And Tintin, yes, it's from Belgium.
Good. Congratulations,
good.
Belgium.
You retrieved something totally useful.
Yep.
Yeah, right, for the right reasons.
Tintin and Snowy.
Good.
This was the first country to legalize same-sex marriages in 2001.
Oh, first country.
Everybody says not Belgium. No, it wasn't Belgium. Do you guys know where it was?
Netherlands?
Netherlands.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember vaguely hearing about that. Yeah.
How about it has three official languages?
So many ways this could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'll say yes.
Yeah.
I'll say yes because I feel like maybe I know what they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it is Belgium. What are they?
Dutch, French, English?
No. Close. Flemish, which is like Dutch.
French and German.
Oh.
Okay, so not really close, but
you got Dutch and French, like Dutchish and French.
Dutchess and
Dutchish. Yeah. Dutch is very Dutchy language.
Good job, you guys.
Wow, thanks. Ooh. Hey, I think we did okay. I think we acquitted ourselves.
We did a little bit okay.
We did a little bit okay.
I mean, there were no, like, Brussels sprouts, Belgian waffles,
Waffles. Again, yeah, I think that, yeah, right.
All right, let's all just pat ourselves on the back here.
Yeah. Everybody, good job.
You can relax now and clench. Your job.
Woof.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
All right, well, I will close out all quiz number 22 with a quiz for you guys about city names, American city names.
Mm-hmm. We went around the world, now we're back in America.
Back home. City name origin. So I will give you some clues and hints about where various cities got their names, maybe what their original names were. I'll give you an example here that I think you guys probably
get this one. Are we guessing the city name?
For most of them, you are guessing the city name. Sometimes it's something else. It will be clear as we proceed.
Okay.
Let me start with what I hope will be a warm-up question. We'll see.
This is an example?
This is an example, but feel free to buzz in.
Okay.
Oh, it's a buzzing example.
Well, that's how we're doing.
Bitter.
The name of this state capital city was inspired by a reddish pole adorned with dead animals, as spotted by French explorers in 1699.
What?
A reddish pole.
French.
Adorned with dead...
Karen.
Baton Rouge.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Baton Rouge.
Yes, Baton Rouge, which translates to
red
stick. Red stick.
Red stick.
Yeah. Yep. I had always known that it meant, you know, red stick. Yeah, or red baton. I went digging. I'm like, well, what is this so-called red stick? So there was an expedition party on the Mississippi when they were first scouting the area, and they saw a cypress pole, like a red-hued cypress wood pole on the side of the river. And it marked the boundaries between two hunting grounds of some of the local indigenous tribes. And they had, you know, dead animals on there, you know, just to make sure you knew this was not just your average
pole.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, like, we'll call it.
This is what you can hunt here.
Red stick.
Examples.
Red pole. Translated literally, what does Philadelphia mean in Greek?
Huh. Wow.
Brotherly love?
Absolutely correct.
Wow, okay. That was a good question.
No, yeah.
Yep. The city's famous nickname, the city of brotherly love. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really?
Philos plus Adelphos, which means loving and brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
City of brotherly love. This well-known Midwestern city is named after a founder of what is now one of America's largest banks.
Oh.
Think about big banks.
Big banks. Yeah.
Karen.
Fargo.
Absolutely correct.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fargo, North Dakota, is named after William Fargo. This vibrant southern city is named after the ancient capital of Egypt.
Oh.
Karen again.
Atlanta?
sorry.
She froze there. No.
Alexandria.
No, no. Dana.
Athens?
No.
Oh.
You're thinking of Athens, Georgia, right?
Vibrant southern city is named after the...
Ancient capital of Egypt.
Capital of
ancient.
Egypt.
Sorry, yes.
Alexandria.
Memphis.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Darn
yes.
It. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, Memphis. And they sort of named it as an allusion to that Memphis was sort of located right near the Nile, and Memphis, Tennessee is sort of near the Mississippi. Right. And kind of they had visions of a grand city. The ancient city of Memphis is ruins today, but it's not far from Cairo. You can drive there from Cairo. The original name proposed for this southern city would have commemorated the linking of the two oceans on America's coasts. They eventually adopted a shorter name out of this version.
Pacific. Is it Atlanta?
It is Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it before?
Well, so Atlanta really grew out of the railroad industry, and it's a fairly recent city. It was like a planned city almost around transportation. So the idea was it was like linking the coast by rail. So one of the names originally proposed was Atlantica Pacifica. Then when they finally went to go and vote and enact the name, they're like, you know what? I think Atlanta might be a little snappier than Atlantica Pacifica. Atlanta. All right, last one. In the top 50 largest American cities, so most people, top 50 by population, there are three cities with names ending in Ville, V-I-L-L-E.
Okay.
What are they?
Nashville.
Nashville is one. Wow. Nashville, Tennessee.
Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky, yeah. Yes.
Gainesville, Florida.
You're in the right state. Not Gainesville. It's actually the largest of these three cities is Jacksonville.
Oh.
Yes, Jacksonville, the 12th largest city. All right. Well, you guys know your cities pretty well.
Yay.
And that is...
Wait, okay. Surprise quiz. I have one last quiz.
Why already well, said really... that was the last quiz?
Well, this is really short.
Okay. You know? Jeez. Messing up
we can't
my
get
system.
Enough.
Yeah. Can't stop. Won't stop.
So I'm going to tell you... This is a quiz about board games. So I will tell you the name of a space on a game board, and
wow.
You have to tell me what the game is.
Okay.
Sometimes, especially towards the end of the quiz, I'm going to have to describe the design of the space.
Okay.
Because there are no words. So if I were to say triple word score, you would say
Scrabble.
Okay.
Got it.
We're going to buzz in. Barnyard buzzers. Here we go. Peanut Acres. Karen.
Candyland.
Oh.
Okay.
Income tax. Colin.
Monopoly.
Yes, Monopoly. Billiard room. Karen.
Clue or Cluedo.
Cluedo?
Yeah,
Cluedo?
Cluedo is the
Cluedo, the British version, yeah. Family checkup. Pay $8,000 per member. Dana.
Life?
Life, or the game of life.
The game of life.
Writer's cramp. Dana.
Operation,
yes. a hexagon with the number 11. Karen.
Catan.
Settlers of Catan. Yes. Two cherubs holding a segment of a circle. Colin.
Trivial Pursuit.
Oh.
Yes. Eastern Australia. Karen.
Risk.
All right. Now here's a description of an entire board. In this board game, pieces begin on start, then try to get into the safety zone on their way home.
Oh,
and in fact, each of four players with their own colors has their own start, their own safety zone, and their own home.
Oh, man, yeah. What is this?
What is this game?
Is it Sorry?
It is Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oh,
Sorry.
That's right. Oh, man.
Finally, on this board game, every space has a drawing of one or more pencils. Colin?
Pictionary,
yes.
Yeah.
No trick questions in this entire quiz.
Cool.
Hey, good job, guys.
All right.
All right, and that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you had fun playing all of our games and quizzes this week. And you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.